1953. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, welcome back to the Paracast, where we have an exciting show for you. I think I'm starting to sound like Tim Cook at Apple. You know, we got some great stuff for you, so stay with us for the next 2 or 3 hours, and you'll have fun. Now, in last week's episode, we had Micah Hanks and Scotty Roberts. And of course, they have that Paradigm Symposium coming in October in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. But they mentioned, of course, the ancient astronauts guy, Eric von Daniken, or as it is properly pronounced, Eric von Daniken. That's what Bob Zanotti told us. And Bob is always right, so we'll go with that. Now, it was mentioned that he had been arrested for fraud and served a jail sentence. This is, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, that kind of thing. And I looked it up because I wanted to see just how severe this conviction was. And this is the Wikipedia entry. We know that Wikipedia is not always accurate, but we'll go with it. So, von Daniken was arrested in November 1968 for fraud after falsifying hotel records and credit references in order to take out loans for $130,000 over a period of 12 years. Now, 2 years later, he was convicted, sentenced to over 3 years in prison, but only served a year. Okay, fine. Now, let's think about this, for example. He was fined 3,000 francs for this offense. Now, I don't know about the translation rate back in 1968 dollars, but 3,000 francs in 1968 was worth, what, about 150 or something?
Sounds like a slap on the wrist to me.
It sure was. $130,000. Now, let us now put this in perspective. The average family in the U.S. makes, what, $55,000 a year. So in 2013 dollars, if it was $130,000, it would take a family over 2 years to earn it. Except, of course, there has been inflation. So when we factor in inflation here, $130,000 in 1968 dollars, what is that in 2013, guys? It's almost $900,000.
Wow.
Okay, $900,000. Now, that's pretty wacky. In fact, one of the dogs in the neighborhood just barked at that figure. So I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty serious offense. And he has to be really lucky, except I guess white-collar crimes were not taken near as seriously back in the 60s. So he was very lucky. I think if he stole $900,000 today, and we assume, you know, he's an elderly man now, but if he was 20, 30 years old and stole that amount of money, he wouldn't just get a year in prison.
Yeah, well, how about Sean David Morton claiming to be psychic and doing stock psychic stock predictions and losing clients' money to the tune of $6 million? That's, and he still gets invited to conferences. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, but it's even more interesting over the fact that he was sued. He wasn't arrested and charged with a crime. To me, if you do that, isn't it illegal?
Yeah.
So why is he not in prison? I mean, we put someone in jail if they smoke a joint in some parts of the United States. Yeah. They could spend 5 years in jail for smoking a joint. Okay? But a guy here who causes people to lose millions of dollars is going scot-free. I see a disconnect.
No. Either that or he saved up a bunch of that money and that's now being earned by his lawyer.
Well, there is that. But I'm not going to say anything about von Daniken except that his theory is nothing new. He was the one with the best-selling book. But when he came out with Chariots of the Gods, we already had, what, Brinsley Laporte Trench, British writer. We had Desmond Leslie, who wrote about ancient astronauts in the early 50s. His book was the introduction of Flying Saucers Have Landed, which, of course, was the George Adamski book. So everybody was concerned about George Adamski meeting the Venusian in the desert or whatever. but maybe they weren't so concerned about the guy who wrote about the ancient astronauts. Then, of course, we had people like Yona Fortner, who nobody ever heard of. Chris, ever hear of Yona Fortner?
Not until I met you and you clued me in, no.
Yona Fortner was writing about that in the 50s for Jim Moseley's Saucer News. Okay? Yona was a brilliant scholar, but a pretty wacky guy. A really wacky guy, and sometimes you wondered if he was putting you on. But he was fluent in a number of languages, very smart on his feet, and he was talking about the God of the Old Testament being E.T. That's the basic theory. So before von Däniken, there were a number of people who were presenting theories of this sort. But like always happens, the one with the best-selling book is the one who's credited with the theory. You don't think about the people who had gone before.
Yeah. Hopefully my new book will be the go-to book on the subject I'm writing about. And it will bring the whole question of who's perpetrating cattle mutilations back into focus and sort of burn off some of the pop culture dross that's sort of going up around the subject.
Well, I think the unfortunate thing here is we have certain writers whom we could name, certain lecturers, who want us to believe that E.T. is coming down here and carving up cattle. And the question I'd ask is why? Why would they do that? You think after you take three or four DNA samples, what's the rest all about?
Right, and why not sample, you know, get your sampling materials out of a rendering plant or a slaughterhouse or something? It's obviously it's the location that's being sampled as well as the animal. So that's something that the flying saucer theory just doesn't quite embrace that line of thinking. Doesn't really factor it in.
Well, of course, you're making me real curious now. Why would they sample the location? Give us a hint here, because we're going to be lining up to buy this book. This book is going to be the definitive work on cattle mutilations. So why is the location significant?
Well, that's just it. Way back in 79, David Perkins noticed that areas of high incidence tended to be downwind and downstream of nuclear test sites, uranium mines, nuclear power plants where we enrich and weaponize uranium. So we may be dealing in some part with an environmental monitoring process that's actually looking at the environment and using soft tissue organs of livestock, which hold the most recent vestiges of the environment in their cells, sampling those organs.
All right, well, we're going to look forward to that book. We're going to line up. We're going to maybe see if we can get you doing some book signings or something. This sounds like it's going to be a fascinating title. You know, this is the kind of book that should be the bestseller that A Chariot of the Gods was, because we have something now that's up front and personal, a real event that's happening now, not 2,000 years ago, and we'd like to know more about it. But what we'd like to know more about, of course, is what is happening to the Mutual UFO Network MUFON. MUFON has had some musical chairs in terms of international directors. You know, they've had James Carrion, who left under a cloud. And we had on the show, he explained what happened. We had Clifford Clift. We had David McDonald, who never came on the show. And we have Jan, is that Harzan? Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. We have Jan Harzan, who's just taken the role of international director of MUFON, and he is going to be on the show today. Chris, tell us a bit more.
Well, Jan has been the longtime state director and also the head of Orange County MUFON. I met him, it's got to have been 17, 18 years ago. A really sweet guy, super knowledgeable, crack businessman. He worked for IBM as a senior project manager for 30-plus years. Pretty much knows everybody in the field, I think, all the movers and shakers. And is very shrewd and I think a perfect choice for MUFON. I'm really looking forward to see what Jan does with the organization. And we've got a lot of questions for him today on the Paracast.
And we're definitely not going to hold back. Real hard questions of Jan Harzan, the new international director of MUFON, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, September 12, 2013. Gold opened this morning at 1340.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1388.85, $694.43 for a half ounce, or $347.21 for a quarter ounce. That's $1388.85, $694.43, and $347.21.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're joined by Jan Harzan, the new director of the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON. But before we talk about what the organization has done and is doing, let's learn about Jan. So, Jan, welcome to the PowerCast.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
I think our listeners will want to know about your background and how you got started in this. What made you interested in the subject of UFOs?
Well, actually, we started when I was a young kid. Growing up, my father used to subscribe to True and Argosy, which are men's magazines of the day.
Ah, yes. I sort of remember that. That ages me.
It was tech in the late 50s, early 60s. And there were articles in there by Major Kehoe from NICAP and different folks talking about UFOs. And, of course, the newspapers always had sighting reports in them in those days. I mean, that was kind of front page news if there was something significant that happened, particularly the swamp gas in 1965, 66, in that era. It always hit the front page of the newspaper. So my brother and I were both very interested in the subject, and we were kind of playing around with it, and we came to the conclusion that these craft were not only extraterrestrial, but they were using some kind of electromagnetic or nuclear energy to give them the ability to defy gravity. So that was where my first beginnings of getting interested in the subject started, quite at a young age, actually.
Okay. Now, did you ever see anything strange?
Yeah. Actually, we did, because my brother and I were in the process of trying to actually build one of these craft, and we decided that it was probably something for using pulsed electromagnetic energy of some sort. And so we had designed, on paper at least, a 30-foot craft with three pulsed electromagnetic engines. Now, mind you, we were pretty young at the time. We were like 9 and 10 years old, but we decided we were going to build this. And so my mother took us to the store one day, and we were waiting for her to check out. We noticed at the newsstand there was a little small magazine called The Flying Saucer Review, and we purchased a copy of it, had our mother purchase a copy of it, and took it home, and we started reading it. And in the magazine, it basically said that UFOs are seen around military installations, nuclear power plants, and places where anti-gravity research is being done. So we just kind of looked at each other, and we said, wow, we're doing anti-gravity research. Maybe one will come visit us. Well, it wasn't but a month later. My brother came to my room early one Saturday morning around 6:30 and woke me up and said, there's someone trying to break into my room. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, someone's outside and kind of rumbling around trying to take out the screen. And I said, well, did you look out and see who it was? He said, no, I didn't do that. You know. And so we went back, we looked, there was nothing there. And I said, well, why don't we go out in the backyard and, you know, let the dog out, and we'll go back and see who's back there. So at this time of the year, it was right before the time change, about April of 65, and it was very light outside. The sun had already come up. It was bright. It's almost day, you know, it was daylight. We were walking down the hallway, and as we went down the hallway in the home, our home, I was talking to him, and he said, look. And I turned around to see where, because he was walking forward, I was looking backwards towards him. And he was pointing at our living room drapes, which were white drapes, and the sun was coming in to the drapes, so they were all lit up. And I didn't see anything. So I said, well, what'd you see, Jeff? And he said, there was somebody standing against the window. When I told you to look, they floated backwards. And that was the words he used. They floated backwards. I thought, wow, that's kind of strange. I thought he was just pulling my leg. So I said, fine, let's go out in the backyard. We'll go see what's happening. So we went into the garage, and as we did, our kitchen was right there. I noticed the clock said 6:30 a.m. on it, and we went into the garage and then out the back door and to the end of the house so we could look back at his bedroom window, and there was nothing there. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right, sure, there's nothing here, Jeff. Well, you're just pulling my leg. We turned around to go back into the house, and there 30 feet from us, hovering 10 feet off the ground, was a landing craft making a humming noise much like a high voltage transformer in the nighttime. If you ever walked down a street and heard one of the things humming, it sounded exactly like that. And quite frankly, we were stunned. So, continue on, I said to him, well, my first thought was, this thing looks, well, my first thought was, oh my gosh, these things are real. My second thought that went through my head was, oh my gosh, this thing looks man-made. Because if you looked at it, it was a tank. I always tell people, if you took a brick and you blew it up to, you know, 4 feet wide by 3 feet tall by 8 to 10 feet long, and then completely smoothed all the edges, and then painted it a bright orange. And then it had blue corrugated landing gear, four of them, and then brown, well, black suction cups on the bottom of the landing gear. And then it had brown crossbars on the legs, connecting the legs, two on each side. And in the middle of the crossbars, there was a bolt. And it was a bolt that made me think this thing's man-made, because I was thinking, why would it have a bolt on it? But as I looked at the craft, it was perfectly smooth, almost like a ceramic. But I don't believe we had ceramics back in those days. I mean, back in those days, I think it was rivets and and nuts that put things together, a metal sheet metal together. So there was not a seam in this whole craft. I mean, it was completely seamless. So the next thought that went through my head was, how do these guys get in and out of this thing? Because there's no doors, no windows. It was just a tank hovering, and it was completely frozen in the sky. So I said to him, I'm going to go in and get a camera. I'll be right back. And I ran into the garage, turned to go into the house, and the door was locked. And I started pounding on the doors, hoping that one of my older brother would come and open it up. And about 5 minutes later, he did. I went in and got a camera, came back out, and my brother was standing up on top of a swing set we had looking off to the west, but the craft was gone. And I said, what happened? And he said, well, it just hovered there for a minute, and it slowly started to drift away, and it just shot over the horizon. So that was our experience as young kids, and that has pretty much shaped who I've been for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's up close and personal. About how? What was the distance between you and the craft at that point when it was hovering?
I'd say 25 to 30 feet. It wasn't very far. I mean, it was right in front of our faces.
Did you have any physiological effects, any prickly skin, hair standing up, anything like that would indicate something electrical?
No, we didn't actually, although we did have a peach tree. We had three peach trees in the backyard, and later, many, many, many years later, when we dug up the one peach tree, because it had died by that time, we noticed that the roots had grown in a circle, which is interesting, kind of circular. So the craft would have been not right over it, but very close to it, that particular tree.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to see. Now, I've had many people say many things. I mean, over the years, the first reaction was on that Monday morning when I went to school. I would have been in about the fifth or sixth grade at that time. I mentioned this to my best buddy. I said, hey, Tom, you know, this happened to me over the weekend. And I was expecting an intelligent response or, gee, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't believe that. And he just looked at me and he said, you want to go play baseball? And I thought, did you just hear what I said? Did you just hear what I told you?
I think that didn't register, I'll tell you, Jan. Yeah. That did not register. It's like what you said maybe just didn't compute in that person's mindset. And we'll get into more of this coverage in our next segment. Jan Harzan is the brand new upfront and personal director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. So many more questions to deal with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the PowerCast, Jan Harzan joins us, telling about the sighting involving he and his brother up front and personal, 30 feet away from this thing.
I would have been approximately 9 or 10 years old at that time. I don't know the exact date, but I remember it happened prior to the Michigan sighting where swamp gas became the watchword of the day, and it happened after I had moved to a new middle school, so it's I have it bracketed. But I believe it was April of 1965, approximately, and that would have made me actually, 10 years old, I believe.
Well, interesting. That's the same month that I had my up-close and personal non-human entity encounter as a kid. Same month, same year. Uh-huh.
Same month, same year.
Wow. Yeah.
There's actually quite a bit of activity there. In fact, I just had a good friend of the family. My wife was talking to her and mentioned that I was taking over as the executive director for MUFON, and I mean, this is someone we don't talk about UFOs with particularly, and the next thing she does is she starts unloading her UFO sighting from Pasadena that she had in 1965, where three craft up by JPL came down and watched her as a young girl playing football in the backyard with her brother. It's just amazing when you start talking to people. This is not something people generally share. It's not the first thing you tell your newest friend.
No.
Unless you want them to run away quick.
But, actually, mine was a year prior to that. Mine was 64, I think, because I was 7. So that would have made it 64.
But that three-year period, 64 through 66, was quite a bit of activity.
Yeah, there definitely was.
Before we go on, when this happened, did you go to your friends, your family, and say, "My heavens, look what we saw"?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My brother and I talked about it, and we decided going to the authorities, since we were only 9 and 10 years old, they weren't going to believe us anyway. And then we talked about talking to our parents, and we said, we kept it to ourselves, basically. Particularly after that experience I had with my best friend, which the realization hit me that people have a hard time integrating this within their paradigm, in other words, within their belief system. And if people can't integrate it, then they just reject it and they ignore it. I think that's one of our biggest challenges in this field, particularly among scientists and others, is if it's not in your belief system, it's not in your paradigm, it just doesn't exist. So we didn't immediately. Now, years later, maybe 5 years later, we did mention it to our folks, and their take on it was, oh, that's, you know, it was interesting to them. I mean, they believed us. But no, I did not go around telling everybody I met that I had just seen a UFO.
The best way to make friends with the girls, especially.
No, not really. No, it can be frightening to a lot of people.
Did not endear you to them, but was this something that just kept staying with you during your teen years? Did you ever see anything else?
Well, I had other, what I would call paranormal experiences, but I never saw another craft, at least not as a young man. So the answer to that is no. But what the effect it did have on me was when I saw this craft, it struck me that the technology that the craft was displaying, that if we could harness that, we could greatly advance where mankind is from a standpoint of transportation. I mean, this thing obviously could get from here to there pretty darn quick. So it's just unfathomable to me that, you know, 100-plus years later, we're still ramming air over a wing to get people to fly from here to there when this technology is sitting right in front of our face that we could figure out and harness and put to good use. The other, which I didn't really think of immediately, but later on, was just the whole energy system. I mean, there was no tanks or any propellant or any fuel on this thing. So whatever energy it was generating internally or out of the vacuum of space. So, I just think from a technology standpoint that forget the people, forget who's coming here or why they're coming here. Just looking at the technology that's available to us was very startling to me and very exciting. And so one of the things I did was I started to go down the path of being a scientist, being a engineer, and I ended up getting into UCLA School of Engineering, where I studied at first electrical, but then I switched over to nuclear because I figured it was one either an electromagnetic or a nuclear or some combination of those forces that was causing them to be able to do what they did. Unfortunately, I quickly realized that our technology and our science at that point was pretty lacking, and that we weren't going to get there just using the standard textbooks and things that existed at the moment. So I looked around, and I was thinking about changing my major, but I ended up staying with it and graduating with my degree in nuclear engineering. And then, of course...
You and Stan Friedman.
Yeah, Stan was a physicist, but nuclear physicist, correct. That's correct.
Now, nuclear engineering, in what sense does that apply to the field?
Well, it applied in that there was some... either nuclear forces, electromagnetic forces, some kind of forces that were being negated by this craft that allowed it to just hover in the sky without any wings or propellers or engines, but just hang there. The only obvious means of propulsion that I could tell was this humming noise coming from it, high voltage humming noise.
So there was never any doubt when you saw this thing, this is a solid metallic craft, obviously far more advanced than anything we could produce?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, now, so you automatically just assumed that this was something that wasn't something of ours.
Well, I definitely was, in my opinion, it definitely was not ours. Now, mm-hmm. Could it be in other countries? Could it be another civilization living on this planet? It's possible. I mean, it doesn't have to be of extraterrestrial origin, but it's certainly not something from the United States inventory at that time. At least that's my belief. And the reason I believe that is because if it had been ours, 50 years later, you would think that we would be putting that into some kind of commercial use. Now, maybe that's naive, but I believe that to be true. Now, I do have a researcher friend whose father was a research scientist at the Rockwell Science Center in Thousand Oaks, which is where I grew up. This is where the sighting occurred. And his view of it is, oh, this is obviously something my father was working on, and they were just testing it, and you happen to see it. And I said, well, Bill, it's possible. I certainly put that down as a possibility, but why would they be testing their craft at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday in my backyard? That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's a good question. Why would they? Why would even ET be there or some ultra-terrestrial or crypto-terrestrial? Why would they be in your backyard?
That's a very good question. I have no real answer to it. I mean, I have some theories. I mean, One is that we did, I think there is some element of consciousness to this whole matter. And having been sitting on our bed reading this Flying Saucer Review and reading those lines that say that these craft are seen around, you know, military installations, nuclear power plants, and places where UFO research are being done, anti-gravity research is being done, you know, and then thinking to ourselves, talking, we actually verbalize to ourselves, oh my gosh, maybe one of these things will come visit us. I have to believe there was some kind of a connection to that whole thing.
So maybe that might be interesting to discuss further. But I wanted to focus on something else you mentioned earlier, and that is when I asked you about more experiences, you said you had some paranormal experiences, and we're going to have to break for the next segment in a moment, in about a minute. But maybe you can start and tell us any of those experiences that you had worth repeating. Give us one. Throw us a bone.
Okay, I will do that.
So go ahead, please.
Did you want me to do that now?
Start with it, and then we'll do the break, and then we'll come back and complete it.
Well, the two specific ones was when I was 3 or 4 years old. I woke up from a nap, and there was an angel or light being sitting on a chair across from me, watching me, which scared the holy terror out of me. And then the other one was that I had a time loop, much like Groundhog Day, that occurred, where time looped on itself, which is very strange.
Oh, boy. You know, this will be the great cliffhanger, ladies and gentlemen. Time loop. I want to focus on that before we continue with some of the other stuff, and, of course, about the current state of MUFON. Our guest is Jan Harzan, the organization's new international director. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
September is National Preparedness Month. That's right. We like to call it Preptember. And there's no better place to get prepped than with emergency essentials at BePrepared.com. This month only, save 40% on our super supply of freeze-dried vegetables. That's a savings of $159. Freeze-dried pork sausage crumbles are 39% off. Regularly $39.95, now just $23.99. There's a lot more. Call emergency essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware. hardware, and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, Lesig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at Lesig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. Lesig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
A time loop. This is fascinating. Jan Harzan joining us with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. So let's have the specifics here. I remember, of course, the movie Groundhog Day, and maybe most of you remember it. This is a great kind of unusual, offbeat, quirky comedy with Bill Murray, who's offbeat and quirky. It's about this guy, this TV weatherman, who experiences the same day over and over again until he gets it right. So, okay, you had a time loop, Jen. How old were you when this happened? Where were you, and how did it manifest itself?
Well, I was around 11 or 12 at the time, and I was in the front foyer of my home where the front door comes into the house, and I had this experience where I had walked out the door, walked down to the end of my driveway, ran into my neighbor who was a young kid my age living next door at the time. We got into a verbal disagreement about something, which ended up turning into a fist fight and me throwing him into our ditch, which is next to our house, and jumping on top of him. And basically, we got in a big fight. That's what happened. And then all of a sudden, after it happened, it was like, bam, I was back in the foyer walking out the front door again. And it was at that moment it hit me. I just did this. And I literally walked out the front door, walked down my driveway exactly like I had just done, ran into my neighbor exactly as I had done that, said the exact same words to him, had the exact same response, got the exact same fight, went in, you know, got a fight, actually threw him into the ditch, jumped in on top of him. I mean, we were young kids at the time, so that was what we did. We fought. And as I was going through the whole experience, I kept thinking to myself, I wonder if I can change this. Now, I didn't, because I wanted to see how it would play out, so I just let it play out as it was playing out. But you know, as I'm literally going through these emotions, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I can change this or if this is all predestined. You know, this is just the way it's just programmed because it's already happened in time. But it was a very freaky experience. I mean, I've never had it happen since. I have spoken to other people who had similar experiences, but it's pretty strange. It makes you question, you know, what is time and how does time work?
Does that all make you question what your original perceptions about the UFO or flying saucer you saw might be? Because if we're seeing that time may not be what we expect, what about something from out of time that just appeared briefly?
Well, it has brought up for me, I mean, I've thought through, you know, for my sighting specifically, you know, do we somehow have a way of creating reality? Do we have some way to do this? Could it be something out of time? Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be something out of time, a time travel or something of that sort. I mean, I don't know the nature or origin of the craft that we saw. All I know is it was there. It was physical. It was showing very advanced technology. And for some reason, it wanted to show itself to us so that we would know it had been there. And then it pretty much left. But certainly, yeah, you think about all these things, trying to figure out how does this work? Why is it happening? Who's behind it? You know, what is the technology that's doing this? It's a very fascinating study, in my opinion. I've always been a scientist's mind. I always want to know why. And this just piques your mind, you know, in terms of thinking these ways. So, absolutely.
Do you ever think that maybe the UFO is manifesting itself to you in a way that you can understand? You're reading about flying saucers. You're reading about things that have a science fiction flavor to them. Ever consider that?
No, not really. I think I've often thought, you know, was there a reason why it manifested or showed itself to me was to get me to, number one, know it's real, and number two, to be interested in it and the whole subject of how it works, so that perhaps I could help affect change on this planet and bring that about.
All right, so you think that you're being communicated with then by whatever is responsible for that craft?
Well, I'm not saying I was communicated with. I'm basically saying there's probably a reason. I'm thinking there's a reason why they showed themselves to us. Because why would they show themselves to us? So there must be something behind that that they're wanting to have happen. So, but you know, I'm not here to do their bidding. I'm here to do what I want to do. I just happen to be interested in technology. I've always been a scientist type and engineering, and I can think of nothing more fascinating to work on than, you know, trying to figure out how to travel to the stars or you know, beat gravity at his own game you know, create energy that allows us to not have to have power lines strung across the planet.
It's a very tricksterish event, similar to many that have been recounted down through the years. It definitely had an impact on your reality view. I mean, you never looked at your reality the same after that. So it definitely had a post-experience impact that pushed you in the direction of not really having any doubts anymore in your mind about the validity of this particular type of phenomena.
Yeah, I would say, Chris, that a close encounter of this type has definite psychological...
mine did. I've never been the same since then.
It is messing with your reality. It really did. Even just as much as having that repeating time incident, having your little Groundhog Day affair, that something was messing with you, something was telling you something, you think? And I mention this because I don't know if you were ever a reader of the magazines published by Ray Palmer. You know who he was, right?
I do not, so go ahead.
Okay.
Enlighten me.
All right, let me enlighten you. Ray Palmer was originally a science fiction writer and editor. He was the editor of Amazing Stories. He was the guy who brought to the public the Shaver mystery about a guy named Richard Shaver who claimed to have been in contact with dwellers beneath the surface of the Earth, maybe a breakaway civilization or something. He talked about objects that later manifested themselves apparently as UFOs. So he may have been the guy, one of the early guys who talked about the arrival of UFOs. Well, Ray Palmer had a magazine out called Flying Saucers that discussed different theories about UFOs, one of which was the flying saucers were here to make us think. And, you know, we can go into other things about Ray Palmer. We've done some episodes on him. We even talked to his son recently. He was also one of the founders of Fate magazine. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, when Palmer says flying saucers are here to make us think, well, certainly it made you think because it very much changed your life in many ways, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, going back to what Chris had said, too, I mean, just your whole worldview is shattered in a moment. I mean, you can believe in UFOs. I mean, you can say, oh, yeah, I know there's extraterrestrials out there. But I'll tell you, when they're 30 feet from your face, or whatever this craft was, I'm not saying it's extraterrestrial, but that seems like a good hypothesis. You know, it just turns your whole world upside down. Now, and I was only, you know, 10 at the time, so... You know, if your view is that, you know, you live in a house, a little picket fence, you know, and the sun comes up and the sun goes down and you have breakfast and dinner and you go play with your friends and that's kind of your life at that age. But now all of a sudden something shows up that has nothing to do with anything you've ever experienced before. It stops you dead in your tracks and it turns your whole world upside down. It's very psychologically disconcerting, that's what I would say. It was so much disconcerting that my brother, who was with me, a year younger than me in age, had a very difficult time in his life. He turned to alcohol and then the drugs, and I'm pleased to say he's now clean, but you know, it, for years it messed him up in terms of who he was. Now, I notice a lot of people who have had been impacted or affected or encountered these objects, they have difficulty in their lives with stuff. It just seems to be very troubling because it just doesn't fit in with anything we currently, you know, in the mainstream know to be true.
Well, in your case, it made you a nuclear scientist.
Right. Exactly.
Do you think that you would have, in your wildest dreams, become what you became had it not been for those experiences?
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. It was the real driver for me growing up.
Okay. Yeah. At what point did you get actively involved in a UFO research organization or organizations?
Well, actually, not until many years later. Now, the first time I ever saw MUFON was on a TV show. Actually, it was a news program where Walt Andrus was being interviewed. I think it was about 1972. And he was being interviewed by the news people who were on a sighting and wanted his opinion on something. So I had MUFON in the back of my brain. I knew about MUFON. But when I graduated from college, I kind of changed my focus. I went more into the business side of things, and I ended up joining IBM as a company because I really wanted to go with a company that had a huge research budget because I felt, you know, if somebody could just apply some of that money to this problem, this opportunity, this challenge, that we could solve it. So I worked almost 37 years with IBM, retired just about 2 months ago, and in sales and marketing. I was an executive with them, and during my time there, I had the opportunity to talk to two senior VPs of research about the subject.
We'll split for the segment here, and we'll continue that. We have Jan Harzan, International Director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.